So we're talking retention in higher ed here on The Morning Show. Colleges straight across the country have seen their enrollments fall for six straight years, and that makes retention more important than ever as an issue. Some colleges are using big data to identify struggling students in danger of dropping out, and they're doing targeted intervention. I read about in California, some universities are trying gamification. Students earn prizes for learning about and taking advantage of campus resources like mental health services. UW System is rolling out an effort to address retention, and you have a line at any point in this conversation at 800-642-1234. Ray Cross is president of the University of Wisconsin System. President Cross, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's always good to be here.
Let's talk retention. First of all, what is the current undergraduate retention rate for the UW system? Where does it stand?
The undergraduate retention rate varies by institution all the way from about almost 90% at some campuses, clearly in the 80s, down into the 30% at other campuses. So it varies depending on the campus. And obviously that also depends on the qualifications and preparation of the students that attend those campuses.
What do we know about that range, and why do we see such a range?
It's true all over the country. And a lot of those, there are just a multitude of issues that impact that. Obviously, not only preparation of the student, but also support for the student. And that's why we're redoubling our efforts. I've been in this business now for 42 years. I know, Kate, I really look a lot younger. I understand that. But it's frustrating. This achievement gap we have in higher education has plagued us for many, many years. And we've made some progress. I mean, our graduation rates are up. They're just not up enough. And the gap between underrepresented students and their white counterparts, underrepresented groups, is just too big. And we're making improvements. It's slow, but this has just plagued us for way too long. So we're working hard to change that and find ways to, in some cases, intervene, to be intrusive with students who need support. So the tools we're working with are tools that help us take the data that we have and analyze it and predict when a student needs to be supported in a different way.
And so you're talking about some advising software that you plan to expand to campuses around the UW system?
Yes, we have. We've acquired this package that helps us pull data that we already have, pull it together, and help us find early predictors. Too often it's one of the problems is too often it's too late when we find a student that needs help. There are early predictors. Did a student not use their meal plan for a period of time? Did they get a C in this class? And we know that students get a C in that class. 60% of the time, they have difficulty in the subsequent class. So there are little tools like that that help us intervene, make sure they get support.
How will this type of crunching data address the racial and socioeconomic gaps, disparities we're seeing in higher ed?
Well, Georgia State has been using this for several years, and they have totally eliminated their achievement gap between underrepresented groups and their counterparts. In fact, the graduation rate for African-American students at Georgia State is actually 1% higher than their counterparts, just by intervention and using effective support systems. So we're excited. Cal State just started implementing this. Others are working at this. This is exciting to me. It's been a frustrating thing for me for many, many years, and so I'm excited about it.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Peter joining us from Madison. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Doing well. What's on your mind about the achievement gap?
Well, see, there's a number of things. I have a background in adult education and instructional design, and I've identified a few different things that I have struggled with myself, and that's preparedness leaving high school, and that's because of some of the standardized testing and Common Core learning practices. And I think, unfortunately, you know, an 18-year-old entering college, they don't have the ability to generate their own learning objectives and, learning goals, so they don't know how to prioritize tasks when they get to a higher education, like a four-year institution. So they struggle with work-life balance. They struggle with their friend network. They struggle with how to start. And I think that sometimes we overlook that.
Peter, thanks for the call. President Cross, what about those practical life skills?
I think Peter's is exactly right, and that's what this wraparound support system, holistic advising, intrusive advice, we call it 360 advising in our strategic framework, that's what it's about. It isn't just about advising regarding academic issues or scheduling. As Peter was alluding to, there are other issues, and several of those involve just the practical side of preparing and studying. And as Peter noted, it's actually even more difficult for non-traditional students, those students that are 25 and older going back. They have different problems, and engaging them in different ways is important.
Well, populations of students with low retention are sometimes those first-generation students as well, and they need more of a support system you call wraparound system. But with the budget cuts over the last few years, some campuses have made cuts to academic staff, to advisors, and those would be the essential systems that would perhaps wrap around these students. Are you hoping to reverse that trend?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. During budget cuts, we often do everything we can to preserve the activities that support directly the classroom. And those activities surrounding the classroom that add to and support students in this process often are cut first. And those have to be restored. And the investment we make in doing that, as all research shows, if you do it well, you get a significant return on that investment.
Well, let's turn to the governor's budget here. Under the plan, Governor Evers has proposed the tuition freeze, which has been going on since 2013, would continue. What is your reaction to that?
Well, we applaud his budget proposal. We're enthusiastic about that. I think it's very similar to ours. We have shared priorities. The legislature has shared priorities. We all want to improve the talent pipeline. With the demographics reducing the number of students that will be coming out of high schools, we have to do a better job of getting more of them into and through the educational pipeline and into the talent pipeline. And doing so, we hope to improve lives and obviously offer our graduates higher wages as a result of their education, et cetera. So those shared priorities are driving points.
But with a tuition freeze, that is also a freeze in funding. How do you make up for that gap as you see costs go up with inflation?
Well, both our proposal, which did not ask for a tuition increase, our budget proposal, the governor's proposal does not. There's a real strong effort to make higher education accessible and affordable. Of course, those go together. But we're seeking resources, obviously, in order to maintain quality. You can't sustain a tuition freeze forever, but if the government, if the state decides to support us as we are seeking, that'll go a long ways to help cover that.
Let's go to John in Appleton now. John, hi.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for all your work. Sure. I was wondering if the guest could comment on this idea about getting at the K-12 product, so to speak, that school districts produce that eventually get on to college. Does the guest believe that if we change the calendar to more of a year-round one, to reduce the summer learning loss and summer decrease in activity, that we'd have a higher product coming into colleges?
John, thanks for the call. You know, how can we structure learning so we don't have those gaps, especially during the summer months?
Well, that's a really good question, John, and there's research all over the place that in some cases validates that, and others it doesn't. We are not in a position to put blame on anyone. Our job is to work more closely with K-12, and we produce vast majority of the teachers in the K-12 system, and our challenge is to do as good a job as we can preparing them. Unfortunately, the numbers enrolling in teacher education are in decline, and part of what we're trying to do is stimulate that interest, because a teaching career is just a phenomenal career. And in doing so, hopefully we will better prepare high school teachers and K-12 teachers in total for the challenges they faced in that effort, help prepare students. We're also doing a number of things to partner with K-12 schools around the state so that they better understand what we expect, let's say, in math. That's typically the biggest problem, John. How do we prepare them so they understand our expectations before they actually leave the high school?
Let's segue here, talk infrastructure. Governor Evers has proposed to spend $2.5 billion on building projects, almost half of which are on your campuses. What is your take on these projects? Are they necessary? And is this actually feasible, what Governor Evers is proposing?
Well, obviously the university has a vast majority of the physical plant of the state, so our facilities dominate the whole, all the buildings in the state, and we have the largest percentage of them. So many of them are between, 50 and 60, almost 70 years old. So that makes it difficult to maintain them. And our budget request, we asked for $1.9 billion, which is a lot of money. We know that. 1.8 of it was to repair, replace, or renovate the facilities we have because they're so old. And now it's getting more costly to maintain them. In some cases, we have safety issues, roof leaks, etc. I could go into some pretty humorous examples. And you recently had some frozen pipes here in this facility, so you understand what I'm talking about. Yes, I think it is feasible, and we're receiving a lot of positive comments both in both sides of the aisle in the legislature. So we're excited about it. We share this priority. We have to provide facilities that are safe and, of course, effective for modern technology in the classroom.
President Cross, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Kate.
Ray Cross is president of the University of Wisconsin System. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You hear him on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.